It's time to welcome back Dr. Chris. Chris, it's nice to have you back.
Oh, it's fantastic to be back, although somewhat jet-lagged after a slightly trying 36 hours in the air.
So oh, 36 hours. I'm not at all surprised.
There were two Thursdays last week, but I'm getting over it.
Well, you can't complain at gaining an extra day, I'm sure. Now, we're going to find out where you've been and what you've been up to in just a minute. But first, what was it that caught your eye in the science news this week?
Well, one story which I think is quite telling was an item which is published in the journal PNAS this week, and it looks at the question of alcohol and alcohol abuse, because for a long time we've known that people who abuse alcohol tend to be very bad at making decisions, and particularly gambling-type decisions, weighing up options. Should I take the gamble and go for a big possible win, or should I take a surefire, smaller win? The big question, though, was, do people who are prone to drink too much, are they just also prone to make bad decisions? Or does the alcohol make them more prone to make bad decisions? So a group of researchers over at the University of Washington in Seattle, this is Nicholas Nasrallah and his colleagues, decided to set out to answer that question. Now, they've done this in rats because obviously it would be rather unethical to try and use human teenagers, which is what they're interested in trying to understand, the effect of alcohol on the developing brain. But rats are actually a very good model for how human brains make decisions. The only slight snag is that, unlike teenagers, you can't get teenage rats to want to drink too much, which is rather surprising. But they found a way around the problem. What they did was to develop the rodent equivalent of vodka jelly. And these rats will imbibe, and they can get sustained high intake of alcohol over a period of time in these rats. And after they've given these adolescent rats this alcohol-impregnated gel for a period of time, they then start giving them a gambling task to do. So what the rodents do is they're made slightly hungry, so they want to participate in the research, which involves giving them food rewards. And they offer them a choice. The first choice is they can have a small outcome, two food pellets, but they'll definitely get it. Alternatively, they could have a high-risk gamble, and they may get four food pellets, but the more times that they do the trial, the less and less likely they are to get those four food pellets. Now, if you do this with normal animals that have not been exposed to alcohol, they quite quickly cotton on to the fact that they might do quite well to start with, but later, it's much better to take the surefire win situation because you're going to get something, you're not going to get left with nothing. But these rats that have been exposed to alcohol consistently, time after time, made the wrong decision. They couldn't learn that if they kept taking the gamble, it was going to have a bad outcome. And they kept going for the high-risk outcome, and they in the end became croppers as a result. Now, this isn't just because they were drinking alcohol at the time. This was in some cases up to 3 months after the exposure to the alcohol had stopped. And so the researchers are saying, well, perhaps the alcohol is in some way affecting the way in which the adolescent brain is wiring itself up. Maybe it's triggering a condition called perseveration, which is where the brain struggles to size up the scale of a problem and then change its behaviour accordingly. It's almost like the brain gets locked into one path of action and finds it very difficult to add additional variables or parameters so that it changes its outcome. But it's very informative because it says to us, look, if we're not careful with young humans, if they take sustained exposure to alcohol, as many are doing, then it could be that they are changing the way that their brain works and they're going to be cruising for a cognitive bruising later, because this will lead them to maybe make bad decisions when they're older.
That's very interesting. So do we think it's possible that we can really draw inferences about this, about human risky behaviour? Because, of course, risky behaviour doesn't just mean, you know, gambling. It doesn't just mean slot machines, things where you may or may not win more money. But it includes going into dangerous places. It includes taking part in dangerous sports. And, of course, risky things like unprotected sex.
Yeah, and sex aside, also doing things like other drugs,
of course,
not making good decisions with your money, and thinking that if I spend this much money on this particular project, I've got a very good chance of winning, when in fact maybe you haven't. And it's weighing up those pros and cons and making the right decisions that make you successful in life. Well, perhaps these people are putting themselves at risk of therefore having bad luck in future. And that's because they've been exposed to alcohol a lot when they're younger. So The evidence is that perhaps we should look at this and say to people, look, you know, you could be affecting the way your brain is going to work in future, so don't abuse alcohol. But it's important not to confuse this with a social drink of watered-down wine with the family at dinner on a Sunday, because that kind of alcohol exposure is almost certainly not going to have this kind of effect. The animals in this study were being exposed to what would equate to quite sustained heavy drinking, the kind that you do see in nightclubs, but actually which you have to actually try quite hard to achieve. So, in other words, a family drink is not going to do this, but probably being exposed to high levels of alcohol chronically is bad, and it can probably produce this behaviour in humans.
And do rats have a similar adolescence to humans as well? Do they have a period where there's rapid changes in physiology and you get brain development that then stops at the end of their adolescence?
Well, they don't paint their bedrooms black. They don't turn into goths. But yes, they do seem to show very similar behavioural changes as they go through the rodent equivalent of adolescence, which is why people think they're a fairly good model for what's happening in the young human brain.
Well, certainly something to keep an eye on then.